Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldar and the Masechta Zavodah Zorah Daf Samach Dalet, the fifth parak Hasochas of Poel. The Zichu Masechta Zavodah Zorah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a question was posed on the previous daf. Schar lishbor b'yayin nesach. If an Akum hired a Jew to smash barrels containing yayin nesach to destroy it, are such wages permitted? Do we say, Kevin derotz b'kiyumo, since he wants the wine's continued existence so he can be paid to destroy it, his wages are forbidden? Or do we say, kol lemu'te tifle shaperdami, anything to diminish folly, meaning idolatry, is permitted? Rav Nachman answered, yishbor b'tavo la bracha. He should break the barrels and a bracha should come upon him. A braisa prohibits hoeing the ground around klein for an akum, but permits uprooting the klein plants for him. The Gemara assumes the Tana is Rabbi Akiva, who holds Makayim B'Klayim, one who merely maintains Klayim, receives Malkus. This proves the Jew can be paid to uproot the Klayim, although he desires its existence. The Gemara attempts to explain that this Tana is Rabbi Yehuda, who normally prohibits giving a free gift to an Akum, but permits uprooting his Klayim for free to destroy Klayim. However, the Gemara concludes that just as Rabbi Yehuda permits giving the Akum a gift when destroying Klayim, Rabbi Akiva would permit Rotz B'Kiyumo of Klayim when destroying it. Point number two, another question was posed. Demei avodas kochavim yad ovid kochavim. If the money from selling an idol is in an idolater's hands, what is the halacha? Mitofes is demei b'yad ovid kochavim? Does the idol extend its prohibition to its money when it's in the idolater's hand or not? Rav Nachman answered that it is reasonable that the money is permitted. He quoted the instructions which Rabbi Bar Avuha gave to those about to convert to Judaism, that they should first sell their idols and other things, which proves that the money paid to an akum is permitted. However, the Gemara objects that in those cases, Kevin de Daita Lagiuri Vade Batla, since his intent is to convert, he surely nullified the idol in selling it, so the money is certainly permitted. But perhaps idols sold by an Akum would prohibit the money. Proof is brought from a Braisa teaching that if an Akum owed a Jew money and sold his idol or Yai Nesach, the Jew may accept the proceeds of the sale. This proves that the sold idol does not prohibit the money paid for it to an Akum. And point number three, another question was asked. Ger Toshav Maushi Yevato Avodas Kochavim. Can a Ger Toshav nullify an idol? Do we say the Palch Mabatel, the Lo Palch Umabatel? One who worships idols can nullify them, but one who does not worship cannot nullify? Or do we say Kol Devar Minei Mabatel? Anyone of an idolatrous kind can nullify, and since the Ger Toshav is of an Akum's kind, since he doesn't keep all the mitzvahs, he can nullify idols. Rav Nachman reasoned that since he does not worship idols, he cannot be mevatel them. This is a challenge from a braisa, which presents three opinions defining a Ger Toshav. Number one, Ramirez says, whoever accepted upon himself before three chaverim not to worship avodah zorah. Number two, the Chachamim say, Kol shekibol lav sheva mitzvah shekibol lahem b'nei Noach. Whoever accepted upon himself the seven mitzvahs, which Noach's descendants accepted upon themselves. And number three, others say, it is a ger who eats nevelas, meaning he accepted all the mitzvahs except for the prohibition against eating nevela. The Braisa concludes that a ger toshav is like an akum for all other matters, which apparently means he can nullify an idol. The Gemara answers to interpret the Braisa differently. So once again, the three points are, number one, a question was posed on the previous daf. Schar lishbor b'yayin nesach. If an akum hired a Jew to smash barrels containing yayin nesach to destroy it, are such wages permitted? Do we say, kevin derotz b'kiyumo, since he wants the wine's continued existence so he can be paid to destroy it, his wages are forbidden? Or do we say, kol lemu'te tifle shaperdami, anything to diminish folly, meaning idolatry, is permitted? Rav Nachman answered, yishbor b'tavo la bracha. He should break the barrels and a bracha should come upon him. A braisa prohibits hoeing the ground around klein for an akum, but permits uprooting the klein plants for him. The Gemara assumes the Tana is Rabbi Akiva, who holds Makayim B'Klayim, one who merely maintains klein, receives malkus. This proves the Jew can be paid to uproot the klein, although he desires its existence. The Gemara attempts to explain that this Tana is Rabbi Yehuda, who normally prohibits giving a free gift to an Akum, but permits uprooting his klein for free to destroy klein. However, the Gemara concludes that just as Rabbi Yehuda permits giving the Akum a gift when destroying klein, Rabbi Akiva would permit Rotz B'Kiyumo of klein when destroying it. Point number two, another question was posed. Demei avodas kochavim yad ovid kochavim. If the money from selling an idol is in an idolater's hands, what is the halacha? Mitofes is demei b'yad ovid kochavim? Does the idol extend its prohibition to its money when it's in the idolater's hand or not? Rav Nachman answered that it is reasonable that the money is permitted. He quoted the instructions which Rabbi Bar Avuha gave to those about to convert to Judaism, that they should first sell their idols and other things, which proves that the money paid to an akum is permitted. However, the Gemara objects that in those cases, kaven d'daita l'giyuri v'adei batla, since his intent is to convert, he surely nullified the idol in selling it, so the money is certainly permitted. But perhaps idols sold by an akum would prohibit the money. Proof is brought from a braisa teaching that if an akum owed a Jew money and sold his idol or yain nesach, the Jew may accept the proceeds of the sale. This proves that the sold idol does not prohibit the money paid for it to an akum. And point number three, another question was asked, ger toshav maushi yevato avodas kochavim, can a ger toshav nullify an idol? Do we say the palch mabatel, the lo palch mabatel, one who worships idols can nullify them, but one who does not worship cannot nullify? Or do we say kol devar minei mevatel, anyone of an idolatrous kind can nullify, and since the ger toshav is of an akum's kind, since he doesn't keep all the mitzvahs, he can nullify idols. Rav Nachman reasoned that since he does not worship idols, he cannot be mevatel them. This is a challenge from a braisa, which presents three opinions defining a ger toshav. Number one, Ramir says, whoever accepted upon himself before three chaverim not to worship avodah zorah. Number two, the Chachamim say, Kol shekibol lav sheva mitzvah shekibol lahem b'nei Noach. Whoever accepted upon himself the seven mitzvahs, which Noach's descendants accepted upon themselves. And number three, others say, it is a ger who eats nevelas, meaning he accepted all the mitzvahs except for the prohibition against eating nevela. The braisa concludes that a ger toshav is like an akum for all other matters, which apparently means he can nullify an idol. The Gemara answers to interpret the braisa differently. All right, so now we go to our siman daf samach dalet, and our standard siman relates to sod, secret, and we use a secret agent for the siman. So here goes. The Jewish secret agent hired by an akum to find and smash the barrels of yain nesach, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, spied on a goy who sold his idol to pay back a debt owed to a yid, who was telling a ger toshav that he can't nullify an idol. Once again, slow motion. The Jewish secret agent, that must be more daf. Samech Dalet, Sod. The Jewish secret agent hired by an akum to find and smash the barrels of Yain Nesach, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, which reminds us, a question was posed on the previous daf, Schar Lishbor B'Yain Nesach. If an akum hired a Jew to smash barrels containing Yain Nesach to destroy it, are such wages permitted? Do we say Kaven Derotz B'Kiyumo, since he wants the wine's continued existence so he can be paid to destroy it, his wages are forbidden? Or do we say anything to diminish idolatry is permitted? Rav Nachman answered, Yishbor B'Tavo Olav Bracha. He should break the barrels and a blessing should come upon him. So the Jewish secret agent hired by an akum to find and smash the barrels of Yain Nesach, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, spied on a goy who sold his idol to pay back a debt owed to a yid, which reminds us, a braisa taught that if an akum owed a Jew money and sold his idol or yain nesach, the Jew may accept the proceeds of the sale. This proves that the sold idol does not prohibit the money paid for it to an akum. So, the Jewish secret agent hired by an akum to bind and smash the barrels of yain nesach, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, spied on a goy who sold his idol to pay back a debt owed to a yid, who was telling a ger toshav that he can nullify an idol, which reminds us, another question was asked, ger toshav maushi yevato avodas kochavim, can a ger toshav be mevato an idol? Do we say one who worships idols can nullify them, but one who does not worship cannot nullify? Or do we say anyone of an idolatrous kind can nullify? And since a ger toshav is of an akum's kind, since he doesn't keep all the mitzvahs, he can nullify idols. As part of the discussion, the Gemara brings three different definitions of a ger toshav. So once again, the Jewish secret agent hired by an akum to find and smash the barrels of a yain nesach, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, spied on a goy who sold his idol to pay back a debt owed to a yid, who was telling a ger toshav that he can nullify an idol. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Samach. So the simmer Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it. Smiley face sticker? That must be on Daf Samach. The yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it, which reminds us, Rapapa said that if an akum is carrying zika, a tied leather flask of wine, and Yisrael is walking behind him, then mal yashare, if the flask is full, it's permitted to lemakarkesh, because he cannot agitate the wine by shaking the flask, so there's no concern of nisach. However, chasira asir dilma makarkesh, if it's lacking, meaning it's not completely filled, it's prohibited because perhaps he might agitate the wine for nisach by shaking the flask. So the yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it noticed that next to where an idolater wearing a mutter smiley face shirt was crushing grapes with koach kocho, which reminds us the Gemara discusses an akum pressing grapes bekocho or bekoach kocho, where he crushed the grapes with the force of his force, meaning he turned the screw which lowers the beam onto the grapes. So the yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it noticed that next to where an idolater wearing a mutter smiley face shirt was crushing grapes with koach kocho, an akum had fallen into a Jew's wine pit, arose, which reminds us, if an akum fell into a wine pit and arose, thereby directly touching the wine, but unintentionally, or he measured it with a reed or struck away a hornet with a reed where, although he intended to touch it, he did so indirectly and for a specific purpose, or was tapping the top of a foaming barrel where he touched it directly, but not in the manner of Nisach, incidents occurred with all these cases, and the rabbis ruled that the wine is sold to idolaters. Daf Samachov. So the Simur Daf Samachov is a sum. We often use a magician doing the saw a person in half trick. So here goes. The magician who had a side business to produce an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and use his magician saw, that must be on Daf Samach Aleph. The magician who had a side business to produce an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and use his magician saw to make an opening to the Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamatari Yeno Shel Ovid Kochavim. If a Jew produces an idolater's wine in purity, meaning as kosher wine which he would sell to other Jews and pay the Akum afterwards, but knows the Rishus HaRabim, and he places it in the Akum's domain, in a house which opens into Rishus HaRabim, then if it's in a city in which both Jews and idolaters reside, the wine is permitted. The Akum is afraid to touch the wine since he may be caught and lose his profit in producing this kosher wine. So the magician who had a side business produce an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and use his magician's saw to make an opening to Rishus HaRabim and kept his own wine in a house he rented in an idolater's chatzer where another Jew resided who didn't have the key, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that whether one buys or rents a house in an idolater's chatzer and filled it with wine, if a Jew resides in the chatzer, the wine is permitted even though there's no key or seal in the Jew's hand because the Akum is afraid to enter the house to touch the wine. If a Jew lives in a different chatzer, but not in the chatzer where the wine is stored, the wine is still permitted, but only if the Jew has a key or seal. So the magician who had a side business produced an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and used his magician sought to make an opening to the Rishus HaRabim and kept his own wine in a house he rented in an idolater's chatzer where another Jew resided who didn't have the key, wouldn't store wine with an akum who wasn't the owner of the wine he produced because Chayshin Legomlin, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses storing wine with a different Akum who's not the owner, and whether a Chayshin Legomlin were concerned of reciprocal agreements that this Akum will allow the owner to touch the wine, who will return the favor when the roles are reversed. Daf Samach Beis. So the Simran Daf Samach Beis is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine captain's submarine? That must be more on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine captain was forbidden to use the money given to him for transporting Yayin Nesach, which reminds us, the fifth parak begins, Asoches Apo Laso Simod B'Yayin Nesach. If an idolater hires a worker to work for him with Yayin Nesach, for example, to transport it, Scharo Aser, the wages are Aser Bahana. The Gemara asks why the wages are prohibited, and Rabbi Yochanan explains, Knasu Shekansu Chochamim B'Chamarim B'Yayin Nesach. It's a penalty with which the sages penalize donkey drivers transporting Shemitah produce and those who work with Yayin Nesach. So the submarine captain, who was forbidden to use the money given to him for transporting Yayin Nesach and told to burn the wheat paid to him for transporting Stam Yenim and bury the ashes, which reminds us, Rav Chista instructed one to burn the wheat and bury the ashes in a cemetery that he was paid for working with Stam Yenim, proving that such schar is Aser B'Hana. The Gemara explains that he could not scatter the wheat since people would come to benefit from it, nor could he burn it and scatter the ashes since it may provide benefit as fertilizer. Burying it without burning it carries the risk that someone discovering it may think it was stolen wheat and not Aser B'Hana. So the submarine captain, who was forbidden to use the money given to him for transporting Yayin Nesach and told to burn the wheat paid to him for transporting Stam Yenim and bury the ashes, borrowed Shemitah produce from Anim to pay them back in the eighth year, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that the people of Rabbi Yanai's household borrowed Shemitah produce from the poor during Shemitah, uparuhu b'shminis, and repaid them during the eighth year with ordinary produce. Rabbi Yochanan told them, Yaosen Abdin, they are acting properly and the repayment does not have Shemitah status. Rashi explains that since the Shemitah produce was consumed before the payment was made, it's not considered an exchange of the Shemitah produce. Daf Samach Gimel. So the Simran Daf Samach Gimel is a segue. So here goes. The Esnan sent early on a segue. Segue? That must be more on Daf Samach Gimel. The Eslin sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, which reminds us the more discusses an Eslin given before relations where it's permitted as a carbon. So the Eslin sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Eslin on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon, which reminds us, Abrysa states that even if one only gave an Eslin 3 years later, the Eslin is prohibited as a carbon. Rav Chista explained that an Eslin is disqualified if he said, have relations with me for this lamb. Since he designated it, it's an Eslin even if he gave it afterwards. If he said, have relations with me for a lamb, without designating a specific lamb, it's a valid carbon because she does not acquire anything until she receives it after the relations, and it's not considered payment for relations. So the Eslin sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Eslin on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon. Pass a shop where the employer was telling his employees to go out and eat, and they will pay for it as their wages. Well, his rabbi told him he should be concerned. They may purchase Shemitah produce, which reminds us. Abrysa teaches that although one may pay his workers without concern, they'll buy Shemitah or Maisa produce with it. If he told them, go out and eat, and I'll pay for it as your wages, he does have to be concerned they may purchase forbidden food. This proves that when he later pays the May Isser Kapara, he's paying forbidden money, meaning the money paid is considered an exchange for Shemitah produce and therefore cannot be given to a Nama Aretz storekeeper. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff did we learn that was mutter for people to borrow Shemitah produce and repay with eighth year produce? That's on Duff. Samach Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf did we learn when an Eslin given before relations is permitted? That's on Daf. Samach Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss whether the money that a goy receives for selling an idol to another idolater, whether it's permitted? That's on Daf. Samach Dalad. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss what the din is of an akum carrying a closed flask of wine and the nafka mina if it's full or not? That's on Daf. Samach. Good. Number 5. Which daf to discuss if an Akum hired a Jew to smash barrels containing Yain Nesach to destroy it, whether the wages are permitted? That's on Daf. Samach Dalad. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn when an Eslin given after relations is disqualified? That's on Daf. Samach Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss what the din is when an Akum used his hand to plug an opening in a barrel? That's on Daf. Nuntes. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that one can collect payment from an akum who prohibits a Jew's wine? That's on Daf. Nuntes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss whether a ger toshav can be mevatel an idol? That's on Daf. Samach Dalad. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss an akum pressing grapes bekocho or bekoch kocho? That's on Daf. Samach. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.